What happened to James Naylor after his blasphemous ride through central Bristol with his ranting women? Well, the Thistle Hotel is actually just there. It's, which used to be called the Grand, I think. It's still the Grand.
I think it's going
to
be the Grand again.
It's going to be the Grand again. This used to be the site of a pub called, I think it was called the White Hart, on that site. And after, I've got to say, the day that James Naylor chose to come in and recreate Palm Sunday, it absolutely chucked it down. The streets were full of mud. They were totally soaked. They walked from Exeter, as far as I know. So they got here and they went to the pub afterwards. Like, you know, a lot of people go on demonstrations or something. I'll have a pint afterwards. So they went, after they'd done the blasphemous thing done in England for years, went straight into the pub, and that's where they were arrested. So James Naylor was arrested and eventually tried in Parliament for blasphemy. It's very interesting that he was taken before Parliament. And there were people who intervened to try and stop, you know, what was going on. And the question is, why were they putting James Naylor? You know, this was sort of the Republic.
Hey!
Hey. Right, so why was James Naylor on trial? Well, what's happening at this stage is that there are power struggles going on. The Puritans are trying to get a grip on everything now. They've said, OK, we've won the war. You know, we've effectively used all these people in the army to do it. They've been fanatical. They've fought extremely hard. And now it's time to kind of batten the hatches down, get religion sorted out, and clear, you know, stop all this nonsense. It's like, you know, nonsense that comes from the ranters all the way through to the, you know, effectively what become the Baptists. They want to clear all that out, stop it. So there's repression begins. And James Naylor is the first person who really gets hammered by it. So they take him to Parliament, they put him on trial. Cromwell intervenes because he's a war hero and says, you know, what are you doing? And Cromwell knows that these are the kind of men that led the armies, you know, they were the core of the armies that won the Civil War for Parliament. So he intervenes, but it doesn't make any difference. They put him in front of Parliament. They decide what punishments they're going to give him. Throughout the trial, they're saying to him, you pretended to be Jesus. You said you were Jesus. He said, no, I didn't say I was Jesus. What I was saying was that Jesus was in all of us. And he sticks to his point all the way through. He never retracts or anything. That's what I said, you know, and he's very clear. They decide to punish him. So they basically branded a bee on his head, bored with a hot iron, they bored a hole through his tongue so he couldn't speak or preach again. And they lashed him more than 300 times in Bristol and London as a kind of public spectacle of what happens to people who want to be religious levellers, religious radicals at the time. So that's the end. That is effectively the end of Naylor. Naylor goes to prison for 3 years. Comes out at the end. Obviously prison with that after being lashed, you know, the chances of his survival were very low, but he made it. He survived the 3-year prison sentence, came out, and eventually was killed, mugged in fact, on the way to Huntingdon, and died. But Naylor's legacy is very important, because what was going on in the Quakers, and to give just a bit of context to who Naylor was in the Quakers, was that the historians say at that time the Quakers were about 40,000 strong in the north of England in particular. And the two main key figures in the Quakers were James Naylor and Fox. And between them, they were kind of vying for control, or ideological control over the organisation. Naylor was a much better speaker and preacher and could argue theologically. He was very dangerous on that level because he was able to take on the established church and argue, and people could understand him. He could do this in public and people understood what he was saying. His criticisms were very, very accurate. And so there was a kind of power struggle going on, and Naylor gets kind of pushed out of history till very recently, in fact. I think in the last few years the Quakers have started to reassess James Naylor. And to give you an idea, I think, and this is a bit harsh on the Quakers here, but the James Naylor Foundation, I think, is a Quaker organisation for the mentally ill. Okay, that's how he was understood for a long time. He was mentally ill. But now he's been kind of, you know, re-looked at. There's a lot more interest in him as a figure and what he was saying. So that's where Naylor stands. He sits in the history of nonconformism, and I would argue he was a martyr to that as well. So very interesting figure. If you want to look more at stuff, there's a lot of Quakers books that have come out in the past and recently about James Naylor.
Okay. Before we move on, just a bit more orientation. We've got St John's Gate down there. Down on the through there on the other side of Rupert Street, where the River Froome ran, there was a bridge. On that bridge was the Froome Gate, which Roger will be talking about when he talks about Dorothy Hazard. And the reason why there was a gate inside a gate is because at various times the walls were expanded. Left the old bits of wall and gate there. It was sort of not that far, just on the other side of that, on the